to, uh-oh. I'm glad that we are not on the air, all right, yet. We welcome you to Bethel Baptist Church, and once again, this is a very rejoicing Sunday as we celebrate as a church body our anniversary. I just want to go over just brief announcements to begin with, and then we get this over and we speak about our anniversary and start our worship service. If you have the church bulletin, there is a little package inside there, and you have a paper for notes. You have a missionary letter from Familia Not. And to tell you how hard it is to know the Lord, there are three people saved in 6 months in Spain, and the missionary is so happy for these three people that that have come to know the Lord and enjoy. So I encourage you to read the letter from our good brother Not. And you have the happenings. And the first page, I give you the story and how this church accomplished 17 years of fellowship together. What is the secret? I learned it from the geese. As you study the scripture, there is about over and over a description of birds and things like that. They give you a lesson, and you can read it in your home, and you will see it. Now, for this coming week, tomorrow, the ladies, they have Bible study. Wednesday night, we have a prayer meeting and Bible study. We're talking about what the Bible says. And this coming Wednesday will be what the Bible says about prayer. On Friday, the men meet on the Ortiz. And they pray, those who live in this area, and they pray together at noontime. And God's willing, the next coming Sunday, Sunday school, you see over there, that's the lesson, Mark 1, verse 21 and 22. That's your lesson. And then hopefully pastor can be strong enough to be on the pulpit again. And we start a series on God. And the first sermon is what only God can do. And of course, we have the evening, the afternoon at 2:30. And then the 4 o'clock, a visit with the pastor, the choir rehearsal, the children meeting. And then at 6 o'clock, I had a sermon for a long time, Matthew 20. The promises of the King. As you know, you can invite your friend to listen to our station. It's so handy when you are not at hand. And KKMC 880, they broadcast live our station. We want to thank the Lord, as I said again, for 17 years of ministry. I have a picture of the 13 people that we started the church 17 years ago. And Mrs. McCormack is the only one you will recognize. Some of the people went to be with the Lord. Others, they move away to Grass Valley and different places. And two young people, one of them is a lawyer today. They live there in Gilroy and move away to New York. The Lord has given us great hope as we rent the building. Actually, we do not rent. It was granted to us as I led to the Lord, the manager, Brother Pedota. He gave us opportunity to use the community room and Coast Federal Bank. And that's how we started. And some of you, I came over there and meet us over there. So we're going to read the scriptures for which I think I'm so grateful to the Lord. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. We're going to do so as very soon we're going to sing hymn 38, Joyful, 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 We Adore Him. Hymn number 442, Praise Him, Praise Him. And hymn number 449, To God Be the Glory. I want to really thank the Lord for you who are our supporters and our members. I want to thank the Lord for those who are guests today, for our friends. And I want to thank the Lord for the church extension, which is part of our church and include three areas. Number one, the missionaries, the people that we have across the world. Two in Spain, one in Ukraine, who is with you this morning. And then our pregnancy care center right here in town, one in Lodi, and we thank the Lord for that. And for years, we have one in Nicaragua and one in Papua New Guinea. And we thank the Lord that we have supported them. We have sent as much as we can to them in strength and prayer and in financial support because they are part of our church extension. As I go month to month and preach in different states, I meet people who receive our tapes, and they also are part of our church extension. And as I walk in the city, and some people recognize my voice and shake my hand, and so your pastor tells, how do you know? So we listen to you over the radio. And so we have a church extension over the radio that have no limits. We who are in radio know that we don't know how many millions they listen at once. And so we are thankful to God for this outstanding ministry of our church expanding from here to the four corners of the United States. And then if you add the time to having family radio every day, 3 hours a day in the Spanish language across the country, from time to time you receive letters from Cuba and letters from Central America, South America, Spain, Israel, telling you how wonderful is the Lord, how precious it is that this church has a broad vision. And they let their pastor express his gift through radio. I think that's my measure strong gift, the communication through radio. And so we thank the Lord for Family Radio, who has given me the opportunity 27 years ago to start the shortwave department. And my brother Robert came not too long after we started and helped us and worked with us. And now he come to visit all the way from Manteca. So I tell you, the joy of the Lord is so immense when you measure the strength and the power of God seeing through the life of people. So let's enjoy and praise him. Number 38, joyful, joyful, we adore him.
Yeah.
your congregation. Once again, this is our anniversary Sunday, and for those who just turned in and radio, we want them to know that our church has been in existence for 17 years and now has grown and is strong and stable, and we do have the extension of the radio ministry, and we welcome those who listen in every city, and Carmel, and Aptos, and San Juan Bautista, around our area. We thank the Lord for each one of them. After the morning service will be a banquet celebration, and if you do not have the directions how to get there, the ushers have told me, here it is, and they have a little piece of paper, you ask them and how to get there or follow one of us. It's very close. It's right here in town. This is the first time that we will have our celebration, not in our grounds, but in some place else. And so we welcome you to come and join with us. And I think all of this is has been arranged, and most of you know all about it because of the phone calls. All right, we're going to look to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to ask these young fellows to come forward as we're going to pray and thank the Lord for his wonderful blessing upon our life. Heavenly Father, we are more than grateful. For 17 years, we saw your strong hand, the hand of mercy, the hand of power, the hand of a mighty God that fulfilled his promise. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. And we have seen in 17 years that in spite of our failures, in spite of our weakness, when we lift up Jesus, you draw those men and women to you. And we have baptized so many people, and we have seen so many people saved through our church, that, Father, we are grateful that the power of God is still available, that the grace of God is still fresh, and that the Holy Spirit is still working among people. And so we, Father, as a church body, are saying, thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to serve you and to be the voice of the gospel in this corner of Morgan Hill. We want to say thank you, Lord, for the Tate ministry that reached people all the way from Maine to Texas and all the way from California to New York. And Father, also we are grateful for the radio ministry who reaches so many counties. And Lord, for the international radio ministry of Family Radio who reaches across the world. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for giving us opportunities like this. And thank you for your people that with great joy have supported the ministry. So Father, this morning we have the joy of seeing our own missionary in Ukraine coming down with his wife Carol to greet us and to bring the message to us. And we pray for him and for his wife and for his security as he returns soon to the field. We pray for Connie, for a college, and for her stability. And we keep on praying for their daughter as they have the difficult time that they have to leave her here in America and going back to the mission field. Lord, I know as a father how we feel. And at the same time, our commitment to you is with all honesty and sincerity. And sometimes demands of things that brings pain into our life. But Father, how grateful we are that you are the healer of our soul, our mind, our body. I'm grateful, Father, for the recovery. I enjoy 2 weeks of vacation. And then when I was ready to start again, You chose to put me another week to rest. And so, Father, thank you for the recovery, and thank you for the improvement in my body. And I pray that as the days go by, I will be stronger than what is today. Thank you, Lord, for providing for us. And as we bring this offering to you at this hour, we are grateful that we can support a ministry that has Jesus Christ as the head and as the joy of our life. In Jesus we thank you. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. If you didn't bring a Bible, there is one provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 846. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that we can come before you with our prayers, because of the unspeakable gift of your Son, who gave himself for us that we would not perish. And it is by his merits and perfect sacrifice as our substitute that we come into your presence to pray and worship. As we read this scripture, we see how the great apostle made himself the servant of all for the sake of the gospel, that he might gain some for Christ. Father, give us hearts like Paul's. Not that we must be called to foreign lands, but that we might be witnesses for Christ right where we are, always ready to give a reason of the hope that is in us, even to our neighbors. We pray for our pastor and your servant, Gabriel Otero, and thank you that his health is improving and that you have enabled him to be with us today. We thank you for your servant, Fred Lewis, who has been obedient to the call as our Lord's witness to the people of the Ukraine. And we thank you that you have granted this congregation the privilege and the ability to help him and Mrs. Lewis as they bring the gospel in the Ukraine. We pray for Reverend Lewis as he delivers the wisdom of your word here and on the radio, that by the Holy Spirit you would give us understanding, and if there be some who have not entrusted their lives to you, that through the preaching of your word today, you would bring them out of darkness, that they would believe on your Son, so that they would not come into condemnation, but would pass from death to life. We pray and thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Once again, in our anniversary day, we bring a missionary to speak with us. Last year, we had Eusebio Perez from the Malaga section, and many of you enjoy him and became a strong man to us. As I look straight from the auditorium, sitting right there in front of me is Mrs. McCormick. And I look at my picture here that I have the first picture 17 years ago, and here's Mrs. McCormick over there. And of course, she was younger here, all right? But what a joy. What a joy have been the McCormick family to our church, and their commitment and love to this pastor by Dr. McCormick. It's been, has been a real encouragement to my life as he watched of me so careful. Now I rejoice myself in having Fred Lewis and Carol. Carol, will you stand, please, wherever you are? This is Carol Lewis. Let's give a hand for her, all right? All right. And at 4 o'clock, after our luncheon and the restaurant, we hope that we have the meeting at 2:30. Some of you have to go and have the meeting at 2:30. And then after 4 o'clock, rather than 6 o'clock today, our missionary will come in and we will have a TV here and show a video of Kyiv in Ukraine and other areas where they work. And then they will explain us their work. And then you can ask them questions and how's the life in Ukraine and so on. And it's so beautiful to learn. Yesterday I have a choice seat because I sit across from my home with Brother Lewis, and I ask hundreds of questions about the life of Ukraine. And as he was looking at property and looking the place, I think his imagination, he was very thoughtful. His imagination was, and how abundant the Lord had blessed America. And when he shared to me that three families share one building with one kitchen and one bathroom, I tell you, makes us think and how we use our life in America. Well, without any further introduction, Fred Lewis from Ukraine.
Thank you, Pastor. It is my privilege to be able to stand before you this morning and to be able to celebrate this church anniversary with you, to be able to open God's Word and try to explain a few things from 1 Corinthians 9 to you, and perhaps to exhort you to one or two things as well. If you haven't closed your Bibles, you need to be open to 1 Corinthians 9. As I get myself settled here, we'll be looking at some verses in 1 Corinthians 9 in just a moment. First, I want to say a couple things, though. I want to thank you, my wife and I, we want to thank you for your support over the years. I think it's been about 15 years that Bethel Baptist has been supporting us, yes, with monetary support, but also most important of all is prayer support. Sunday school teacher was asking this morning if I felt like I could do our work in Ukraine alone without my wife, and of course I said no. But what I was really thinking about is, no, I can't do our work in Ukraine alone without the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one who truly makes all things possible. And so I want to thank you. We want to thank you this morning for your support over the years and for your continuing prayer support, especially as we've been in Ukraine for the last 2 years. Now, this afternoon, we will give you something of a field report to give you some detail about what we've been doing for the last 2 years in Ukraine. But very briefly, let me just give you one sentence for what we've been doing in Ukraine for the last 2 years. We've been studying Russian. We've been studying Russian 6 days a week. We get up in the morning and we study Russian, and we study Russian until just about until the time we go to bed at night. Just about every day, week in and week out, month in and month out, studying Russian. Now, we've done one or two other things, perhaps, in the last 2 years in addition to studying Russian, and we'll tell you a little bit about that this afternoon. But you might wonder, why would anybody do that? Are we masochists? Do we enjoy inflicting pain on ourselves? Is that why anybody would choose to study a foreign language every day, just about every day of the week, for 2 years? So the message from 1 Corinthians 9 this morning is really an answer to that question. Why in the world would anybody spend that much time studying the Russian language? Now, the other thing that I need you to keep in mind as we move through these verses here in 1 Corinthians 9 is I am aware of your church anniversary this weekend. I am aware that it's been 17 years. And when you have an anniversary, when you have a birthday, sometimes at least, it's a time for taking stock. It's a time for thinking about where we've been. It's a time for thinking about what we're doing now. It's a time for thinking about the future. And so these verses from 1 Corinthians 9 are also my attempt to say something about what any church is supposed to be doing. So I would like you to, as you listen to what I'm saying this morning and as we read these verses, I would like you to be thinking about Bethel Baptist. What does this church, what is it supposed to be doing? In light of our Lord's commands. So what do I want to say to you this morning? This is what I want to say. We must adapt ourselves to the people we're trying to reach with the gospel. We must adapt ourselves to the people that we're trying to reach with the gospel. Well, what does that mean? That we must adapt ourselves, not just our message, not just our programming, but ourselves. What does that mean? That we must adapt ourselves to the people that we're trying to reach. Well, we can see from 1 Corinthians 9 that Paul adapted himself to the people that he was trying to reach. Look at verse 20. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. Verse 21. To those not having the law, that's the Gentiles, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Verse 22. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. Paul changed his behavior. He changed his actions. He changed his behavior depending on who he was with, depending on who he was trying to evangelize, depending on who he was talking with about the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul was with a Gentile, he acted like a Gentile, even though he himself was not a Gentile. As you know, he was a Jew. And when he was with Jews, he acted like a Jew, which would, of course, been most natural and normal for him to do. When he was with Gentiles, he ate Gentile food. And when he was with Jews, he ate Jewish food. And I'm sure he altered his behavior in many, many other ways in addition to that. Not too long after we got to Ukraine 2 years ago, a neighbor in our apartment building invited us one Sunday afternoon, I think it was, invited us over for a meal. One of the things, well, there were many interesting things about that meal. This was one of our first introductions to Ukrainian life. But one of the things that really struck me about that meal is that she served vodka. Now, you know that Germans drink beer, and the French drink wine, and Ukrainians and Russians drink vodka. So, I'm the missionary. What do I do? What should I do in that situation? Well, I drank the little glass of vodka so as not to offend my hostess. Now, if there had been Ukrainian Baptists there at that meal, and there weren't any, but if there had been any Ukrainian Baptists at that meal, I probably would have said no. Because according to Ukrainian Baptists, drinking alcohol is something that you just never do under any circumstances except during communion. Because they serve wine in communion. But any other time, no. No alcohol for any reason whatsoever. But in order to not offend my hostess, I drank that little glass of vodka. So we, Fred and Carol Lewis, must adapt ourselves to Ukrainians if we're going to reach Ukrainians for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there might be some objections in your mind, and let me try to speak to those just for a moment. You might be thinking to yourself, well, now, if we're going to adapt ourselves, does this mean we're going to change our doctrine? Does this mean that we're going to change what we believe, what we teach, and what we preach? Absolutely not. We do not change the gospel in any way when we adapt ourselves to the people that we're trying to reach. That isn't what Paul did. He didn't change his doctrine when he met with Gentiles and tried to explain to them who Jesus is. He didn't change his doctrine when he met with Jews, when he was trying to explain to them who Jesus is. If you glance at your Bible in 1 Corinthians 8 through 10, if you just look through the chapter headings, if your Bible has any chapter headings, you can see some of the topics that Paul discusses here in these three chapters, chapters 8 through 10. Paul discusses things like, should Christians eat meat that's been sacrificed to an idol? This is not a doctrinal question, it's a question about behavior. Should an apostle get married? That's not a question about doctrine. That's a very practical issue. Should an apostle be paid for his ministry? That's not a doctrinal issue. It's a question about behavior in practice. In these chapters, chapters 8 through 10 here in 1 Corinthians, Paul doesn't say one word about changing doctrine in order to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. If Paul didn't change his doctrine when he met with different kinds of people, then neither should we. What did Paul change? Paul changed his practice. He changed his behavior. He changed his actions. Paul adapted himself to the people that he was trying to reach. He didn't adapt his doctrine. He adapted himself. And so we too must adapt ourselves to the people that we're trying to reach. Well, another objection that you might raise is, might go something like this. Well, I certainly agree that apostles should adapt themselves. Certainly missionaries should adapt themselves to the people that they're trying to reach. But that certainly doesn't apply to me sitting here in the pew or listening on the radio. It doesn't apply to people in the United States, does it? It doesn't apply to the average church-going Christian, does it? It certainly couldn't apply to the average Christian. It must only apply to apostles and missionaries. Well, maybe pastors too. Maybe pastors will give it, okay, pastors can adapt themselves, but the average Christian, no. No, that's for Christian professionals. That's not for the average Christian. Well, my reply is, yes, it most certainly does. It applies to every one of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in the United States, everyone is not the same. I look at you this morning, and you are obviously not the same. I can tell from your faces that your ancestors came from different places in the world. People here in the United States are not all the same. Certainly there are Gentiles in the United States, and there are Jews. And you know, there are many different kinds of Gentiles here in the United States. In fact, I would say that the missionary context here in the United States is more complex than it is in Ukraine. In Ukraine, there are really just two ethnic groups. Most of the people are ethnically Ukrainian, and about a quarter of the population are ethnically Russian. And there's just a very, very few other people from other ethnic groups. But you've got about 99% of the population when you talk about ethnic Ukrainians and ethnic Russians. How many ethnic groups are there in the United States? How many are there in California? How many ethnic groups are there in Morgan Hill? We are not the same, all the same, here in the United States. I think that maybe I have it easier in Ukraine than you do. I would say, for example, that if there are people in your area here in Morgan Hill who speak only Vietnamese, let's say, then maybe someone from this church ought to be learning Vietnamese so that they can proclaim the gospel to those Vietnamese-speaking people. Missionaries must adapt themselves. Pastors must adapt themselves. Individual Christians must adapt themselves. And whole churches must adapt themselves. Let's not just think individually, okay? Let's also think as a group, because a church is an organism. It's not merely a collection of individuals, although it is that. A church is an organism bound together by the Holy Spirit. And whole churches must adapt their behavior to reach different kinds of people. Well, before moving on, let me mention one very concrete example of one way that you might adapt yourselves to the people you're trying to reach. You might think about using a Bible translation that makes sense, that is easy for the person you're trying to reach, that it's easy for that person to understand. Now, probably everybody in this room this morning, including myself, has an English translation of the Bible that you prefer. One that you are simply more comfortable with when you read it than some others. And that's fine. However, the question is not, which Bible translation does Fred Lewis prefer when I'm doing evangelism? The question is, which Bible translation is easiest for the hearer to understand? Which Bible translation makes it easiest for that person to see the Lord Jesus Christ so that he or she can put his faith in Christ? Now, you might wonder, now, how in the world do I get from adapting ourselves to Bible translations. Well, this is what Paul did in his ministry. Now, you might know that, you certainly do know, that the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and then about 200 years before Christ, it was translated into Greek. So there were two versions of the Old Testament that Paul could have used. He could have used the Hebrew Old Testament or the Greek Old Testament. We know from what Paul wrote, from his quotations from the Old Testament, that almost always, way over 90% of the time, he used the Greek translation of the Old Testament in his ministry. Now, that's interesting for a number of reasons. But I'm only going to mention one of those reasons. You see, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, there are a lot of problems. I mean, just oodles and gobs, an uncountable number of translation problems in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Sometimes the Septuagint, that's the Greek translation of the Old Testament, sometimes the Septuagint really garbles some verse from the Hebrew. Sometimes the Septuagint leaves out whole verses that appear in the Hebrew Old Testament. Sometimes whole verses appear in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, that don't appear at all in the Hebrew. And sometimes scholars think that the reading that we have in the Septuagint is better than what we find in the Hebrew Old Testament. Sometimes the Septuagint rearranges whole sections of a book. I mean, they're just in a completely different order. You're reading along, and suddenly you go from verse 31 in chapter 6 to verse 17 of chapter 15. I mean, it's that kind of thing going on in the Septuagint. That is the translation of the Old Testament that Paul typically used in his ministry. Now, Paul was fluent in Greek. He was fluent in Aramaic, and he could at least read Hebrew if he wasn't fluent in Hebrew. So he had to know that there were all sorts of problems with the Septuagint. I would have thought that if he wanted to remain, to make sure that he got exactly the right verse in a particular situation, that he would have quoted from the Hebrew Old Testament. But he almost never does that. Why? Didn't he care about the reliability of the Word of God? Didn't he care about making sure that he got exactly the right words written down? Well, of course he did. But his primary concern was making sure that the people who heard him could understand the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is. He wanted to make sure that when he's talking to Greek-speaking people, that he used a translation that made sense to them. And that's why he chose to use that translation of the Bible. Now, some of you, I'm sure, feel very strongly about one translation, one English translation or another. When I read my Greek New Testament, I pay very careful attention to the textual apparatus when there are textual variants. The readings go from A through D. A is the best, D is the worst. So when there's a C or a D reading in a verse, my eyes light up and I ask myself, what in the world is going on here? When I read my Russian Bible and I'm reading through a verse and I think, how in the world did they get it translated like this? And I go back and I check my English Bible, which is most natural for me, and I can't see anything like that there. I pull out my Greek New Testament and I make a comparison, and sometimes what they've done is follow some other textual variant. The point is that we need to be using a Bible that makes sense to the people that we're trying to reach. Something that they can hear and understand. Otherwise, it's wasted effort. For your own personal study, if you have a preference, sure, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that at all. But when you're talking to somebody who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, talk to him in a way that makes sense to him. Say things about Jesus in ways that he can hear, not simply things that perhaps you've always been taught or some rote formula. Again, the point is not which translation of the Bible is Fred Lewis most comfortable with. The point is which translation makes the most sense to the people we're trying to reach. You see, evangelism is not about Bible translations. It's about Jesus. We need to think more about the people we're trying to reach and less about ourselves. How must I change? How must we change so that they might hear and believe? Well, we must adapt ourselves to the people we're trying to reach. And I've tried to explain a little bit of what that means. Now let me try to address the why. Why should we adapt ourselves to the people we're trying to reach? Why did Paul do that? The first reason, of course, is simply pragmatic, to win as many as possible. That phrase in these verses occurs two or three times. I have become like a weak person to win the weak, to win as many as possible. I hope that that idea is self-evident to you. If I am trying to talk to a Russian speaker about the Lord Jesus Christ, then I must speak in Russian. Speaking in English isn't going to make it. Now, that's a more extreme example, but there are examples much closer to home right here in Morgan Hill. The second reason that Paul gives for why we should adapt ourselves to the people we're trying to reach is found in verse 23. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, he says, that I may share in its blessings. Paul is not saying in this verse that he adapts himself to others so that he, Paul, might be saved. When it says in one translation that he might be a partaker of the gospel, he's not saying that he adapts himself so that Paul can be saved. No, he's not saying anything like that at all. Salvation is by faith in Christ only. Paul is saying that when he adapts himself to others, he, Paul, receives a blessing. Paul is saying that when he adapts himself to others, he finds favor with God. Paul finds favor with God when he adapts himself to others. Paul understood that adapting himself to others grew out of his missionary call. And Paul was called to preach. Look at verses 16 and 17 here in chapter 9. Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. Paul says that he is compelled to preach. Yes, he wants to preach, but he is compelled to preach. And Paul is also saying that when he preaches, he voluntarily, he receives a reward for that preaching. Now, you might be thinking to yourself something like this. I believe that God will find a way to save all of those who have been elected to eternal life. God is sovereign, and he will accomplish all of his purposes. Now, I believe that. I believe all of that. I believe that God will certainly save all of those who have been elected to eternal life. But does that let me off the hook? Does that mean that I can say, well, since God will find a way to save the elect, then I don't have to worry about adapting myself to those people I'm trying to reach? God will find a way. He'll find somebody who will do it, so then I don't really have to try. I can just leave it up to God and go on my merry way. No. No, you see, if I don't adapt myself to the people that God wants to reach through me, then I'm going to miss a blessing. I will lose out on some of the favor that God wants to bestow on me if I don't do the things that he wants me to do. Let me ask you a question. How many of God's blessings do you want to receive? How many? Some of his blessings? A few of his blessings? One or two of his blessings? Is that what you want? Or do you want all of God's blessings? That's what I want. I want all of God's blessings, not just some, not even most. I don't want just most of his blessings. I want all of his blessings. Oh yeah, God will save all those who have been elected to eternal life. But what about the blessings to me? I'm already saved. God wants to bless me now. And adapting myself to others so that those people can hear about Christ is one way that God bestows blessings on me. How many of God's blessings do you want to miss out on? One? A few? Some? I want them all. I want all of God's blessings. A few weeks ago, we were at a friend's house talking about where we've been and what we've done in missionary work. And I should say at this point, before we were in Ukraine, we served in Africa for a number of years. And my friend was saying, wow, you know, you lived all those years in Africa. You've lived here in the United States. And you've lived in Ukraine. He says, what an interesting life. And I honestly had not thought about it quite like that before. It has been interesting. It has been rewarding. Oh yeah, there have been lots and lots of problems. Oh yeah, there are lots and lots of heartaches. And in 3 months, when we go back to Ukraine and we leave our daughter in Oregon, I'm not looking forward to that. Every time I think about it, I start to cry. I'm standing here right now, and the tears want to come. Yeah, there are lots of problems and heartaches. But it's been a blessing, and it continues to be a blessing. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. Not for anything. How many of the Lord's blessings do you want? Just a few? How many of the Lord's blessings do you want to miss? Just a few? I don't want to miss any of the Lord's blessings. I want to receive all of them. And adapting ourselves to others is one of the ways that God bestows his favor on us. There is yet one final reason for adapting ourselves to others for the sake of the gospel. It's simply this. It's what Jesus did. It's what Jesus did. This Jesus, who from eternity past was always God, there never was a time when Jesus was not God. This Jesus became a human being, and yet he remained fully God. Jesus came to this planet to tell us about the Father, to show us in flesh who the Father is. God became a human being. God adapted himself to us so that we might know and understand and be able to follow him. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Why did Paul adapt himself to the people he was trying to reach? Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus adapted himself to the people that he was trying to reach. And so Paul was merely following the authoritative example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly, we should believe what Jesus taught and said. The words of Jesus teach us how to live. Certainly, that's true. The actions of Jesus also teach us. What Jesus did is just as authoritative for us as his words are. Jesus' actions teach us how to live. And Paul understood that. So he said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Now, I think I know where the emphasis is in this verse. I don't think the emphasis in this verse is on the verb to follow. Paul is not saying, I don't think, Paul is not saying, "Follow me." I don't think Paul is saying that. I think Paul is saying, "Follow me. Follow me. I am following Christ. So follow me," Paul says. Every Christian, every church is supposed to be a living example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul adapted himself to others for the sake of the gospel, he was following the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ are not supposed to follow him? We're all supposed to follow him. That's why I said a couple minutes ago, does this idea only apply to apostles and missionaries and pastors? No. Every one of us are supposed to be following the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus adapted himself to us to reach us and bring us into the kingdom. And that's exactly what we're supposed to do. It's not just for missionaries. It's not just for pastors. It's not just for individual Christians. It's for whole churches. It's for all of us. What Paul is saying here in these verses is simply an illustration, one illustration of a principle of life. We must adapt ourselves to others because that's what Jesus did. That was his whole life, adapting himself to others so that other people could understand who he was. These verses here in 1 Corinthians 9 and the final analysis are all about Jesus. These verses are just an illustration of what it means to follow Jesus. God wants us to be conformed to the image of his Son. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. I think that when Jesus was in heaven, before he was born in Bethlehem, I think that in heaven, Jesus was accustomed to being served. He had thousands upon thousands of angels to wait upon him. They were at his beck and call. He could order them to do anything, and they, the angels, spontaneously, I imagine, spontaneously wanted to serve and glorify Jesus while he was still in heaven, before he was born in Bethlehem. So I think it was a big change for Jesus to come down to earth, to come and live in a place where he is the one who is doing the serving instead of the other way around. I can't imagine a bigger change. There's a big change when a man stops being president and he's an ordinary citizen in the United States again. But what we're talking about here with Jesus is even bigger than that. He was God. He was always God. He is God, and yet he came as a servant to save as many as possible. That's the example that we're supposed to follow. And when Paul was doing these things in 1 Corinthians 9, he was following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we too are supposed to follow that same example. "Though I am free and belong to no man," Paul says, "I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible." May the Lord Jesus always find every one of us doing exactly that. Let's pray. Father, we want to praise you this morning that you sent your Son to this planet. Thank you that Jesus became a servant for our sake, not for his own sake, Lord, but for our sake. Thank you, Lord, that there was a man like Paul who understood and followed the example of his master. Lord, my prayer this morning is that we also might understand and follow, that we also might be willing to adapt ourselves to others for your sake, to win as many as possible. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Almighty God, O Lord most high, instructions, so you will know how to get to the restaurant. The ushers will have the paper for you. Before you go, I cannot drink any more coffee, as you know, because of my heart problems. They are affecting me and putting me down for 3 weeks, but I'll tell you, there's full coffee over there from Italy. Good one, all right?
Heavenly Father, what a beautiful service we have today. Reminding ourselves that we are here not to build the big building or to have a cathedral for ourselves, but we are here with one thing in mind. We want to win others for Christ. And in that thought, Father, we are aware that you are the one to win. We are aware that you are the one who elects your people. We are aware that you are the one who by the Holy Spirit convicts people. Somewhere, somehow, in your wisdom, we are here on this earth to share the gospel with others. And so, Father, as we grow as a church in the years ahead, help us to win the Morgan Hill people and the Gilroy people, the Summerteen people, and the Aptos people, and the Carmel people. Lord, all those people who come here and go home from far away, they are missionaries in their own land. Thank you for the challenge. This church, leave out the challenge. No, we're going to be careful.